Hello, everybody out there in YouTube land. It's John with Catholic for Rednecks, Monday Night Live with Christopher Adams. How you doing, Chris?
Pretty good. Very excited to be on the show.
Yeah, what do your friends call you? Do they call you Christopher?
Well, it depends who they are. You know, family. Yeah. Some people call me CJ because it's Christopher James.
Yeah.
And then, Christopher, Chris. I go by Christopher generally. So.
Okay. Yeah. I got a close family friend named CJ.
Okay. His
old James. Actually, I know two CJs. I know you. I've met you in person twice.
Yes.
Do you know where we were those two times?
Actually, I know the first time was at Catholic Palooza, but I don't actually recall which one was the second one.
Mass.
Which one?
At Mass the next day.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. I don't think you had remembered.
I don't remember that, but yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
I think you're on duty. Hey there, JR. JR is one of our moderators. He's the one that shows up. He's okay. One that's role of, at bay. Hey, Anna Maria, Elizabeth Rose.
And JR and CJ here.
Yeah, we'll have Eric show up. There's Eric. He's texting me on the top screen and I try to keep up with who's saying hi so I don't sound like we're...
Yeah.
But, you know, a few weeks ago, I was talking to Christopher St. Clair.
Okay.
Also known as Margaret's man friend.
That's right. He is a man friend.
Muscle of Margaret. Man. And,
big arms, yeah, right?
Telling me, man, you need to hear this testimony of Christopher Adams, his conversion story, and he acted like it was if I remember him right, something to do with an exorcism or something supernatural, something wild.
So it was a supernatural event that totally took me by surprise,
and I and it was about it before.
Okay,
because I want to keep it real and keep it, you know, I like hearing about it. At the same time, the audience does. There's Eric with us. So, Well, look, just start wherever you want to and
sure.
And tell me your story.
Sure. It was a long time coming, you know, the conversion. It wasn't like a natural trajectory for me, actually. It didn't feel natural. I guess you could technically call me a cradle Catholic, technically. You know, I was born and baptized into the Catholic Church as an infant, as a baby, and then in St. Anne's, Virginia, in Northern Virginia. You visited us once. And
you were baptized there at that
church? Yeah. Right? St. Anne is the name of the church.
Okay.
And, you know, but I was actually raised Protestant because my dad... You know, he married my mom and he, in order to marry her, he had to officially like convert to Catholicism because it was a wedlock situation, yeah. You know, and so he did the whole thing. But then it's ironically, you know, my dad, he went to a Catholic priest and he said, I want to know more about God and everything like that. And he had a lot of questions apparently. And the priest said, I guess product of the time, you know, he just said, go read the Bible. So he read the Bible and he became a Protestant.
Yeah.
You know, so it's what, torn, right?
Which of the Protestant churches did he end up going to?
Well, the church that I was raised in was called 4C, 4C Memorial Church, which is funny because it's named after a man. But it's, you know, it's a Bible church. It's basically non-denominational evangelical church, which I have nothing but love for, you know, those people. But yeah, so I was raised there and then, you know, eventually, I wasn't living like a Christian for like a long time. I always believed, you know, I never lost my faith or I never lost my belief in God.
So your mom was Catholic though?
Yeah.
Okay. Did she continue on with her Catholic faith or join your dad with the non-denominational church?
No, it's actually kind of an interesting story because, you know, she had a very traumatic life and difficult story. But she kind of always, like, you know, like me in the past, always kept her belief and faith and stuff, but never really went to mass. But it's kind of interesting because my grandfather, you know, he was a Catholic, and he actually went to Catholic University here, you know, and he, my mother actually was considering abortion, for my, for me.
Oh.
And yeah. And he was like, no, you know, you cannot do that. And he, as a Catholic, you know, he was saying, you need to go through with this.
Now that was your
And
grandfather.
yeah. And essentially that was the result was the marriage, you know, and, my birth. Thank God, you
Right.
know, so thank God for the Catholic Church,
Yeah.
right? Or we could have had a different
The
situation.
Catholic University there in Washington.
That's right.
I've been there
You been
before.
there?
My famous
It's a
movie
pretty.
store went there too.
Which one?
Voight,
Oh, right.
the guy from Deliverance.
Yeah, that's what's her name? Angelina Jolie's dad.
Yeah, John Voight went there. And do you know, I think I'm pretty sure I saw him, and you won't believe where I saw him.
Where?
At breakfast at
Catholic
that
Palooza?
hotel at Palouse that we stayed in. I don't know if you stayed where we did.
No. No, I drove there. Actually, I drove down there with St. Clair. You know,
Okay.
I got him in the car and we bolted down.
Oh, you're the guy that brought him.
Yeah.
So I've met you three times, really, then.
I think you I actually think that you've met me one time.
Yeah.
Because I think you might possibly confusing me with another person at the mass the next day. Because I just went back to Rich I went back to, you know, DC area after that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So with St. Clair. But that's so funny that you met him,
Well,
that
I
you think you
Google.
saw him there.
I'm looking at him and I'm saying, that's John Voight from what was that series he was in on Netflix? Ray Donovan. And
Okay.
I mean,
What's up,
and
what's up, St. Clair? Hey,
I
my
must
boy.
have been. Do it. But
We have to do a rematch of your
I started
arm
training, and
wrestling.
I've started training in earnest because I'm a year older. I've got to train twice as harder.
Right.
But I Googled John Voight when I'm sitting there at breakfast because I'm like, no
In
way. But you never know because I've met big rock stars in regular one-star hotels before. I
Okay.
have.
Right.
I'm Googling him and I hit John Voight and I look. And he says he's from Northern Virginia and went to American University, the Catholic school there in
Okay.
Washington. So,
Small world. I didn't know he was from here. That's interesting.
we went to school there. I'm not exactly sure where
If
he was
he's from
built.
there. Yeah, well, he's the one to know because he's got the treasure, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
So you was raised Catholic, I mean, raised Protestant, non-denominational.
yeah, non-denominational. My dad had a pretty, you know, if you want to hear an interesting story, his is interesting. But he became pretty intensely converted into Protestantism, and it's funny, his name's Paul, and he became a street preacher.
Yeah.
So he's a street evangelist, you
Okay.
know, going out to the campuses, going out to the beach, going out everywhere and preaching the gospel, which once again I think is a really respectable, you know, it takes a character to be able to do that.
Thanks, guts.
It takes a lot of guts. And he's been beat up before. He's been arrested. Sorry, what did you say?
Do you still do that? Do you still street preach?
Yeah, down at VCU. You know,
Yeah.
VCU.
I've
Yeah,
been
so
there.
that's a rough place, you know, if you want to be telling people certain things that we believe, you
Yeah.
know, for example, about sexual identity, abortion, stuff like that, and you're just telling people and, you know, students walking by, you know, purple haired, you know, these types,
Right.
they're going to be, you know,
Well,
pretty upset.
that metal band, Lamb of God, the metal
Okay.
band,
Yeah.
they all went to VCU.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But it's a pretty camp. The area is pretty.
I like
You went there, right? Did you go to
it.
the cathedral?
No, I didn't, but I tell you where I did go to. I went to the Confederate White House where Robert E. Lee was the president
Right. Yeah,
because
yeah.
it's the actual parking lot of Children's Hospital.
Is the same place?
Yeah, it's sitting right there in the parking lot. It's like you can go around the Confederate White House and get to the ER room. I kid you not.
History. That's pretty cool.
Right there. Yeah.
It's neat stuff. You know, it's interesting. I know that the, what was it, the Parliament? Not the Parliament. The wherever they did the voting in one of the houses there, they had a huge problem. Like, apparently one of the levels fell out and, like, killed a whole ton of people there. It's a Confederate house. Yeah. A
lot of history there.
What can you say?
So how long was it between the time you was growing up and then you had this experience?
What hey, Margaret. Hey. Sorry.
Love Margaret.
Yeah, yeah. She's awesome. Evangelizing to the purple-haired people. Yes.
Hey, we saw a vampire there. Me and Brian were walking through that Hollywood Cemetery.
Okay.
You know where that's at? On the river?
No, I've never been. River. Oh, the river on the river walk there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
There's three presidents buried there.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And mm-hmm. The Confederate monument looks like the thing in front of the Vatican.
The Masonic.
Yeah. Stuff. And we some weird people, and we're walking down this road.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this dude, I thought it looked like a woman at first, comes slinking out from behind the tombs.
Slinking.
Long, black, purpley hair. Yeah. And all leather and all goth. Look, I couldn't tell if it was a male, a female, Asian, white. I couldn't tell what it was.
But it.
Obviously, they wanted to be seen, so I'm like taking pictures. Yeah. I'll send you a picture later.
Did they notice you?
Oh, they wanted to be noticed.
Yeah, yeah. But did they notice you? That's the question.
Yeah.
They noticed that you were, they could probably feel it.
That usually I had that effect on people like that. We were in, what's the name of that place? Pauai in Maui.
Okay. Like one of the islands.
On Maui is where they do all the windsurfing.
Okay. I forgot what it's called, but yeah.
Paia?
Not sure.
People get killed there every few weeks because they windsurf right onto the rocks.
No.
Go figure.
Sounds dangerous.
There's this all this Wicca, New Age, occult shops and stuff on the strip there.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my wife walked in. We were just trying to find, you know, some Hawaiian stuff to buy, you know, to wear. Yeah. And I walk in that place, and those two girls look like the girls on Supernatural, the TV show.
Oh, the show.
They stopped dead in their tracks and looked at each other and went.
Yeah. Did they have the black eyes and everything?
They were goth, and we walked out. We left. My wife said, it's time to go,
because
kind of vibe looking at me, and you know. So go
sometimes
ahead.
Sometimes that's the best. No, sometimes that's the best thing to do, right? Just walk away.
Yeah, we laughed.
Right. I mean, that's understandable. Sometimes you can just feel it. You know, it's a very palpable sort of energy that you can sense with these people, especially. Yeah. You know, that's something that I've noticed, and I'm glad people are really kind of noticing this too, is that, you know, demons in the Bible often identify as they or them or we, you know, is usually in the plural.
Us.
And then you notice in the the popular culture, oh, I identify as, you know, they, them, and you kind of wonder just how many people or entities are involved in that conversation you're having.
Well, were you ever involved in any of that kind of extracurricular activity?
No. No, I always knew to kind of stay. Am I breaking up?
Yeah, I think that was I think we conjured up something right there. Let me let this dog out. She got restless when you started talking about
Okay, go ahead, sure.
Go on out, Callie. Go out. They're very sensitive to that sort of stuff.
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't mean to rush you, but I want to hear the story that Muscle Man told me about.
Muscle Man. That's what I'm going to call him from now on. You know, he's got a really good gym set up in his basement, so that's why. Let's see. Okay, yeah. So I'll just, like, start from where I was. Becoming a Catholic was not really on my radar. for years and years, I wasn't living as a, you know, person of faith, or, you know, someone that believed in Jesus. Sorry, that side, Jesus. And it's just, you know, I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know what I was doing. I ended up living in Russia for some time.
I heard that.
Yeah. So I lived in St. Petersburg, and I was a, I was studying at the University of St. Petersburg, Russian language.
Really?
Yeah. And so I, you know, eventually picked up the language, got, you know, that was quite an adjustment, you know, going over there, and living, and, you know, none of the people that I knew really spoke English per se. And so it was kind of like you had to adjust. I mean, like one person that did, you know. And so that was interesting. That was in 2007 through 2008, and then like a little bit of 2009. And, you know, I was just really immersed in the culture, really immersed into the, because I knew that if you're going to learn a language, you got to really immerse yourself in the day-to-day culture. You have to stop speaking English, stop ingesting, you know, media from your culture, stop, you know, you have to really dig deep if you want to be able to survive. And one of the aspects of that was Russian Orthodoxy. And, you know, I never converted to Russian Orthodoxy. I never fully converted to that. But I really kind of took in the ethos and the spirituality of it. And I really truly believe that you're not going to find, probably not going to find a richer depth of like a spiritual overall lifestyle than like some of the Russian Orthodox practices. It's a very rich, you know, heritage.
Believe it or not, we have one here.
Do you? So what's your town again?
I live near Birmingham.
Near Birmingham?
Mm-hmm. And Birmingham. My son Brian, you know, he's really into that Russian culture and language.
Okay.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah,
You know, he was studying Russian hot mm-hmm. and heavy. I think he's the one that told me you had spent time there.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's funny because I remember last year he was learning it. I'm not sure. Is he still learning it?
We were over there over the weekend. We were watching YouTube to some place in Russia. It's supposed to be the most white trash part of Russia. I mean, poor and crime ridden. I forget the name of the town. He wanted me to see it.
Well, there's a lot of, I'd say there's a lot of that to go around in Russia. Yeah. You know, it's a, you know, Russian culture is very similar to, if you want to put it, if you want to say it that way, there's a lot of redneck, you know, kind of culture in Russia. They're very down to earth, very close to, you know, the Russian soul, I would say, is close to nature, close to the nature, close to, you know, hunting and stuff like that. Like there's a lot of that in the past.
Yeah.
So much, not too much now, but like in the past.
They were on fire with God before America was.
Way before.
I've seen mm-hmm. their provincial flags and logos from way mm-hmm. back when with all the bear with the word of God and the Ark of the Covenant. But they were, it was like going to a, you know, a Orthodox church or something, all their flags and political.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's funny, you know, one of my professors, she told me, if you want to study Russian history, it's going to be like a religion class. You know, it's basically one and the same because, you know, the church, the state, everything, your whole life, everything is surrounded by the church.
Yeah.
You know, everybody in their corner of their house has got the Krasny Ugol, you know, the beautiful corner, you know, where they have the icons and, you know, that's the center of your life. And so there's a lot of spirituality there and it's pretty cool, pretty beautiful, overwhelmingly beautiful in some cases. What is the church where you live? Is it really like pretty? And
I haven't been yet, but I want to. But what's funny is about a few months into the Russian-Ukrainian war, mm-hmm. I got a package from the Ukraine.
Did you?
Package. And I opened it up and it's an icon. Somebody mailed me an icon.
Yeah.
A face of Jesus. It's in the other room where I get it.
Wow.
But I'm thinking, how the hell they mail this during a war? You know, I turn on the TV and it's pillars of fire. And I'm wondering how they mail this to me.
Well, you know, when you're Russian or Ukrainian, you tend to be relatively resourceful.
I bet.
You know, that's kind of part of the role, you know. That's one thing, you know, if there's anything inconvenient that happens, Russians have a way of kind of figuring out a way to deal with it.
Like rednecks. So,
yeah, like yeah, exactly. So that's another thing that's similar to the redneck culture. You kind of adapt, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to call it like the redneck culture, but that kind of culture.
I've got a lot of Mexican friends, a lot of Hispanic friends, and I've always wondered, why do I have so many Mexican friends?
No.
And a lot of them told me, they said, you're like we are. Right. You know, it's like Alex on, she'll be on here in a minute probably from Instagram.
Okay.
She says, she's Mexican. She says, we feel like we're rednecks. And so we're with you. So that's the
Latinos. Uh-huh.
Plus Eric right there. He's kind of a redneck. He lives in Kansas.
And oh, his dad spoke Russian. Cool.
He's a redneck. He lives in Kentucky. So, you know. Cool. So were you going to mass over there?
I was Protestant. And so I found a local, I guess it was a Presbyterian church, but it was, you know, not a very big community. No, it was Baptist, not a very big community. The Baptists have an interesting history in Russia because during the Soviet Union, they were very heavily persecuted. And they always were, you could tell a Baptist because they wore a red scarf. The women would always wear a red scarf, a symbol of the blood of Christ. And they kind of blended in with the whole red thing, but they, you know, they still did that after the fall of the Soviet Union. But I would go there, and then, you know, I went to all the festivals, like the Easter, Pascha, like the Russian, or, you know, Orthodox Church. I would go to the big, you know, the big, yearly festivals and stuff. And you know, you're just surrounded by beauty and history. So it's just kind of like, you want to go in these churches. You just want to go in because they're gorgeous. Right.
They're beautiful on the outside. I can only imagine on the inside.
Oh, the inside is where most of the beauty is. So,
Greek,
yeah,
the Orthodox. Hey, Haley.
Sorry,
I was saying hi to Haley. I've been to the Greek Orthodox. They too have a food festival here.
Okay,
as do the Lebanese Catholic and the Greek Catholic. So,
okay.
They're all three near each other. So it's like they take turns having these blowout street parties.
Yeah.
And we love
maybe one. Hopefully someday in the future, it'll all be one big party.
Yeah.
We can mend that wound. It's just a senseless wound. Right. But yeah, when I was over there, I went to the Protestant church and then sometimes the Orthodox just because it was interesting, you know. And then I also lived in Siberia. And you're going to find more people over there that are redneck than you're going to find in St. Petersburg.
I bet.
You find people that are like, I work on the rigs, mm-hmm. you know, the oil rigs out there because that's where the main oil production is. Oh, where's that located? Well, you have to take a helicopter and then a snowmobile and there's no roads and it's, you know, day's journey out there. And then we're stuck out there, you know, so we'll hunt our food, you know, drink a lot. That kind of thing.
I know the dude in Metallica, James Hetfield. You know,
he
struggles mm-hmm. with alcoholism.
Okay.
And one of his triggers is he loves to go hunting in Siberia. He goes often.
Okay. I did not know that.
Bender for weeks, living out in the winter with his mm-hmm. Russian buddies on a vodka bender, literally for weeks. Then they'll have to bring dry him out and put him in a hospital somewhere before he can get back on the road. So
they plug him in.
Yeah.
Get him some fluids.
Yeah.
You know, I would talk to my buddies out there who would just come back from the rig. They'd fly back in to the main town there, Surgut. And I'm like, man, you look rough, man.
Yeah.
Because this is like you were saying, it's a bender for like weeks and weeks. Just like, hopefully, you know, you kind of wonder if those rigs are working right after a while. But anyway, Russians are great people. I don't want to say anything disparaging. But so that was kind of a thing. I was kind of interested in the Russian Orthodoxy. And then, you know, I came back and for years and years, I was working at, or a few years, I was working as a teacher of Russian language. And, you know, once again, I was introducing my students to the church. I was considering Orthodoxy at that point, Russian Orthodoxy. And eventually, you know, I joined I actually wrote to this lady I knew who was the leader of a choir at the, one of the main Russian Orthodox churches in DC. Well, here. And she was like, yes, you can come and, you know, audition to sing in our liturgical choir, you know, for the liturgy. Like, oh, cool. So I went there and I tried out and she was more than happy, you know, to have me sing with them. So I was a tenor in their liturgical choir. And I have to say, being in that choir, you know, surrounded by that atmosphere was unbelievable. I mean, you don't experience much like that in terms of spirituality. But, you know, around that time, my grandmother passed away. We were really close, me and my grandmother. And, you know, a lot of the people there kind of helped me get through that situation. And that was really an awesome thing. But I still wasn't quite sure whether to go that way or what to do. And eventually I ended up dating this girl who was Protestant. And, you know, I was pretty excited because, you know, a couple years before that, we had tried, it didn't work out. And then she reached back out to me. Oh, great. Cool. You know, we can date. I really was into her. When it was going very well. And, one day I said to her, hey, you know, on a date, you want to go somewhere random? Just go drive somewhere. Sure. Let's go back to where I used to live in Columbia, Maryland. And, you know, we drove out there, had a drink, and then, you know, a couple hours later, walked back to the bar. It was nighttime, closing time.
It's a good song.
It is a good song. Mm-hmm. But it was closing time and there was no one else there in the bar. This is the story, by the way. And, you know, we go there, she has to use the restroom. Okay, fine. So it's just me. And I see this one guy standing at the bar, one tall, African-American fellow. He's about 6'4", big muscular guy. And he goes, I like your outfit. It's nice. So I said, okay, this is a weird thing to start a conversation with, but okay, cool. I guess I'll engage with this dude. I walk up to him and I noticed that he was like eating the pickles, you know, in the bar, you have like the pickles and stuff and like lemons. He was just sitting there like, eating them raw, you know. I'm like, oh, this is okay. So he's a strange guy. Anyway, he goes, we started talking and then I'm standing next to him and he goes, you know, you're one of the nicest of them I've met. And I said, of them? What do you mean? And he goes, your family. You're the nicest one of your family that I've met. And I'm like, who are you? And he goes, you know who I am. I've known you your whole life. And it's just the hair, you know, on the back of my head and everywhere. I was, you know, palpable. Remember I was saying you can feel it?
Yeah.
I could feel it. And I was thinking, okay, either this is just a crazy person that needs to be on their schizo meds or, you know, this is going to be bad. So he's like sitting right there next to me, you know, looking down. And he goes, oh, I was wearing a bracelet that I had gotten from Bolivia. And it was a silver bracelet. And he goes, who are they on your bracelet? Who are they? And I was like, oh, I, you know, I looked at it and it's these, gods from the Andean pantheon, like Pachamama, Inti. This is like the Andean religion. You know, I didn't think about it. You know, I didn't think 2 seconds about wearing that back then.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, and I was like, yeah, that's who it is. I was like, what's your name? And he goes, those are my names.
Wow.
Smiles. You know, and I'm okay. All right. You know, and he goes, he asked me this really weird question next. He said, if you had to choose one of them, which one would you choose and which one would be like your most favorite? That was kind of the wording he used. And I was like, of the gods? Yeah, of the gods. And I was like, you know, I'm thinking, why would you? That's a very strange, like non-normal question to ask someone you just met. Like, it's also not like a normal, it's just a weird question. And so I kind of clued him to what was going on. I knew that it was not. I knew that it was a demon that I was talking to.
Did he have a normal American voice, or did he have an accent? Because he sounds like some Caribbean sounding dude to me.
You know, he had a slight accent, but I couldn't quite place it. I mean, to give some kind of context to what he looked like and everything, big dude, you know, wearing, I think it was a FUBU shirt, tight and everything, muscular. But he had, like, tattoos all up, you know, faded kind of tattoos all up his neck and all over everything. And I can sort of read Arabic a little bit. And so I could see that one of them had Allah, you know, on his neck. And he had various other religious symbols and stuff. So that's part of his thing, clearly. But his eyes were completely, you know, bloodshot. Totally bloodshot. So I thought maybe it was drugs or something when I first saw him. But then when I looked into his eyes, you know, you could tell something else was up. By this point, I'm just absolutely terrified. And the only thing I knew what to do, I had been to Guatemala about 2 weeks before that on a trip, and I had bought this crucifix. Didn't mean much to me. I thought it looked cool. So I pulled it out of my shirt and I said, this is the God I choose. This is my God. And he, you know, visibly stepped back. So he kind of, it was in my shirt. Mm-hmm. And I pulled it out.
Yes.
I held it like that.
Yeah.
And I said, this is my God. Yeah. Yeah. And he goes, he kind of visibly, you know, reacted to it. And then he smiled and he was like, oh, yeah, you like that Catholic stuff. He said Roman Catholic stuff. And I was, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, like, kind of, I think it's interesting. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, you know, but that's kind of what immediately went through my mind. But he said, yeah, you like that Catholic stuff. And he goes, you've been watching Father John, Father John. Father John. And he said it three times. And I was like, three? Interesting. But then the thing that stood out to me most, you know, was that I had watched video by Father John, who was an exorcist that past week. And, you know, I have not on this account, but I have an anonymous account, and that's what I usually use. You know, no, there's no way I use VPNs. and he knew my search history. And I had been watching him because I was interested in learning about this stuff, because I had heard that, you know, traumatizing events can lead to oppression and demonic possession.
Well,
and my mother had that experience, pretty bad one.
Which Father John was it? Can you say?
It was the name is Father John, and he's an exorcist. He's not very well known, but. Sorry?
Is he in Atlanta?
I don't remember where he is, but it was like a podcast with these two guys, and he had a couple interviews with them. And, you know, I'd watched him, and it's funny because he wasn't the main person I had watched. The main person I had watched was actually Father Ripperger.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, he's very famous, right? Father Ripperger, and then I can't remember the other guy's name, but Father John was one of them, and he's not very well known, which really was like weird. Father John, I don't even remember his last name, but I know it's Father. He goes by Father John.
And you just watch that because your mother's problems?
Yeah, and I was curious to know, because she had messed around with the spiritual stuff. She had dabbled in that kind of stuff. I had experienced a lot of weird stuff as a kid, being with her in that kind of toxic environment. You know, but I was just really curious to know, you know, and so I've been watching that. And yeah, lo and behold, it does lead to possession, oppression, these kind of things. She was a wonderful woman, but she was troubled, right? Father Ripperger, Father John, but he specifically mentioned Father John, which was really strange to me. You know, that's one of the things Father Ripperger had said. I remember he said, you know, knowledge of things, you know, that you're not supposed to know, things that you
familiar yes. spirits
with things that you don't, what they're not supposed to know, knowledge. Yeah. And, I was just like, that is beyond weird. And then, my ex, she comes out and she goes, you know, and she puts her, he grabs her hand and she puts her hand out and he goes, "Ashante, Jessica," kisses her hand. He didn't know her name. And I'm like, okay, we have to go. So I'm like, no sudden movements. Normally I might say something like, maybe don't do that or, you know, but I'm just at this point shaking, no sudden movements. Let's go. Right. So I took her. He's what?
He's a really big dude too.
He's a big guy. He's bigger than me, that's for sure. And I'm like, I'm not trying to mess with a demonically possessed dude who's like 6'4", you know, and buff. So I grabbed her and, you know, let's go. And I put her in front of me and he's walking behind me and he goes, when we walked out, he goes, he's like walking this close to me. Okay. Breathing down my neck. And he goes, 3 a.m. Look up. Well, he said 3:30 a.m. Look up. I said, okay, great. Great. You know, I got to deal with this at 3 a.m. I'm not sleeping. You know, so then I walk outside and I held her back and he kept walking. I saw him go to his car. He turns around. He does this weird grin and everything. And I said, that is evil. That's a demon. Don't, we need to stay back here. And she says, wait, what?
Jessica. You said Jessica. That, Jessica?
Yeah. And she said, wait, what? And she kind of sobered up because she had, you know, she's kind of lightweight. And she said, oh my goodness, what's wrong? What happened? Because she didn't know what happened. She still didn't understand. And she goes, your nose is bleeding. I actually had a bloody nose. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is way too, you know, Carpenter, you know, way too like horror movie or, right? And So I'm shaken. I'm nervous. And I can't believe my mind about what's going on there. John Sada. Interesting. Margaret said it's Father John Sada. I don't remember. Maybe. But, you know, we get into the car and I just start driving down the highway and she's, you know, sitting there praying for me, praying, you know, the whole time. And she doesn't know what's going on. She just, the only thing she knew to do was pray. And I said, okay, great. Anyway, we're going down the highway and I see this, his car in front of mine and there's nobody else in the highway. It's nighttime. And I'm like, oh, great. So I try to slow down to make, you know, to get some distance between me and this like horror movie antagonist, you know. And as I'm slowing down, his car slows down. And I come almost to a complete stop. And he is right there in the middle of the highway. And then his lights, they just start going like a strobe light, like blinking like really fast. I said, this is enough. So I just bolted around. It was like the nearest off ramp. I said, Jessica, look, I'm sorry. You got to drive. I can't do this right now. Panic attack, basically. But I was praying and she was praying. It was just overwhelming. When you experience something like that, like there's no fear that especially when you're not in the church, right? That you can feel like quite like that, you know? And she said that every time she tried to pray for me, and I don't know, this is what she said. She got a headache, an intense headache, like right here. So I think it was like a moment of liberation. I think it was a moment of clarity for me, Road to Emmaus, whatever. I don't want to say it's like that, but you know, it's for me knocking me off my horse, you know. So I said to my friend, you know, Saint Wave.
Yeah.
You know, Saint Wave. Yeah. So I grew up with him. I grew up with him.
Yes.
What's up?
I was parked next to him at Palooza.
Right. Oh yeah, you were. You were right next door. Yeah, you guys were neighbors.
Church.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's a great guy. Very few people like him. He's my sponsor. I grew up with him, you know, in the Protestant church, and he converted many years before me. But I say, because we had debated Catholicism and apostolic church stuff for a long time. And I said, you know, we need to talk. We need to talk.
This is
the thing that caught his attention, right? This. And, you know, he pointed something out to me, not to, you know, talk about the division between East and West, but he said, you know, it's interesting that he reacted against the Apostolic Church of, you know, Christ in Rome, you know. And I said, okay, it's right. And he said, you know, there's one church that has a system of dealing with this, that has a history of dealing with this. You need protection. You need to get, you know, talk to a priest. So I did. And here we are. So that's the story. But, you know, after that event, it was kind of like a weird time because that's not where it ended. You know, I would walk around Silver Spring, which is kind of an area near where I live.
I've been there.
And you've been to Silver Spring?
I've been there.
For what reason?
Oh, that's a bottle of bourbon story there. We'll save that one.
That sounds like Silver Spring.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I walked to the metro there and I was wearing the crucifix. I had my mom's rosary in my pocket. I'm like getting as much stuff as I can. This guy's like, you know, protection. And I'm walking there and I look at this girl. She's sitting there reading a book. She looks up at me, looks at the crucifix, looks in my eyes, slams the book shut and bolts.
Wow.
So I'm thinking, you know, something happened where it's like they knew that I could see them. Like these things, you know, just for that period of time. And I'm like, this is weird. You know, I noticed, I'm like, do I need to be on like some meds or something? Like I'm seeing people do weird stuff all over the place for a while. I think so, you know, for a time. And, you know, I went to the priest and he prayed over me and he was a very based priest. You know, he understood what was going on, gave me the old right blessings. And, you know, I saw this one girl near my apartment. I came home at 3 a.m. from St. Clair's place. And, we had been working on music and stuff. We record music together. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah. I follow you guys on Instagram.
Yeah. So it's for a long time.
Yeah, I kind of keep up.
Yeah, you kind of keep up.
Yeah, with a circle of friends. Yeah.
Well, we keep up with you too. So
yeah.
You know, but I came home and this girl was standing there in the dark, underneath the street light, and I get out of my car and I'm just like, oh no, you know, just don't be a thing. I look over, she's looking right at me. I look over at her. I start walking towards towards the building, and she just bolts right towards me. And I'm like, oh no, this is too strange. And she's just running around me, laughing, you know, the whole way. Now Silver Spring has got its share of crazy people, so I'm kind of, you know, I want to naturally just say it's probably that, right? But the timing was it was right like the next day, or 2 days later, or something. I'm like, this can't be. She followed me into the building, up to the elevator. It was so weird. Then in April after that, I went through RCAA, joined the church. And I can't say it was an easy choice because I definitely was looking towards Orthodoxy, Russian Orthodoxy.
I've heard it's like looking at the two best looking women in the club. And it's really difficult to make a choice. That's what I've heard. Two beautiful women.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, really one. I don't know which one.
Right. So the Western one was the one that I went with, or the universal one. And, you know, the rest is history, but I think it was the best decision. I know it was the best decision returning to the church that I ever made.
I don't have any troubles fellowshipping with the other side of the compass, so to speak.
You don't?
You know, word west, dirty. I don't, it's not, I mean, I've got some friends that are Greek Orthodox that I know they're trying to pick a little bit here and there, but I'm like, man, I don't care, because I don't see it like people do. You won't see me in the memoirs like Muscle Man says, because I don't care about any of it. I know they were like this, and I know they're going to be like this.
We're going to go back to that, right? So,
no issues with me whatsoever.
No more polemics, right?
Hmm?
No more polemics. Like, no more dividing arguments, foolish arguments. I'm open to having these kind of, these kind of discussions about the doctrine and the theology and all those things. Those are very interesting. But the hate, the vitriol and the nonsense is stupid. It's dumb.
Getting in it. I may say joke every blue moon, but with my Orthodox, Catholic, I just it's not a thing with me. It's not a thing.
No, no, that's good.
I couldn't even name you all the little bitty nitpicking differences they have. I don't care. They don't bother me. I just care, man. I mean, to me, it's us and them. The protesters, I don't protest I'll go to the Eastern Catholic churches. I've been to a few, Melkite, I think, Margaret and them go there sometimes.
Yeah, we have a Melkite church that Chris and that St. Clair and Margaret go to.
I like that church a lot. There's, you know, like I told you, I'll go to the Greek Orthodox festival, and going in their church is so beautiful, And I'm like, when I went with Brian, he wants to talk with all this theology.
Yeah.
I don't care, man. Don't care about the theology. Any differences between the Orthodox and the Catholic, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's an interesting
history, interesting divide, lots of interesting things to talk about. But, I think that we are coming to a place, I think St. Clair mentioned this when he was on your show, I think we're coming to a place that is a little bit more ecumenical, between East and West. There's a lot more, talks going on. I know that's one of the great things about Francis, actually, is the fact that he's so open to this, the dialogue with people like Bartholomew. And
since you're obviously a lot more onto it than me and Chris and the other Christopher, what's this I hear about something in 2025? Something's in the works. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does that ring a bell?
I don't really know. Maybe St. Clair can chime in, but I know that they made a plan for the next millennium. I know that the East, and I know that the Patriarch Bartholomew and some of the other heads of the churches down there, and the Pope, or some archbishops in the West have gotten together to plan for the next millennium and for, unity over the next millennium. This kind of wound could take a while. You never know, really, because there's a lot of complications to it. But hopefully, we'll be able to have some ouzo. And
you know what I think? Let those big, lofty, long bearded clericals fight about that stuff, and the rest of us foot soldiers just be friends.
That's right. I mean, if you go to the actual church, you talk to people, there's no actual, like, the people who are worth talking to, I would say, they don't have vitriol or hate or anything like that. which is great. And, you know, I love the fact that I can go to both East and West church, you know, Western churches and the Catholic Church, because it's a universal church.
Right? Yeah.
It's just awesome that way. Now we got to get the other part of the West as well. We got to get the Anglicans to get rid of their nonsense that they've got going on with some of their.
I had one of those guys on here.
Did you?
A month ago, yeah. And all.
But they have some weird stuff going on with the, you know, the female ordination and.
Telling me all the stuff he don't like about it. And I'm like, yeah. Hello, come over to your brother's here.
Maybe you like, should, you know.
Yeah. I was like, why are you fooling with it? Because all the axes he had to grind have already been ground. You know, come on over here.
Right. Who's the who's the guy that has the big hair? The Anglican priest. He has the, you know, large kind of.
King Charles? I don't know.
Not too much hair there.
I just know the head of their church isn't even a Christian. That's all.
Was it Robinson? Robinson, I think. Anyway, he like keeps saying things that's so in line with Rome, and I'm like, dude, just cross the river, dude.
They just had four of their big wigs cross over in, recently, I think, since Christmas. Calvin Robinson.
Yeah, yeah. St. Clair says 2025 is a big meeting between the apostolic churches to celebrate the anniversary of Nicaea. That's true.
Okay. Let me tell you something out. Speaking of 2025, something might be in the works. If you Google 2030, let me see if I
Hey, Jamie, can you look this up?
Yeah. If you look at 2030, it has to do with the Marine Corps. I was in the Marine Corps. And someone told me they're scaling back the Marine Corps.
And no shock there.
And I mean, it's just going to be a tiny unit within the Navy.
Like big time? So the men's department of the Navy, the smaller men's department of the Navy.
It's always been the nutsack of the Navy. Now it's. But anyhow, they are planning for a naval war with China by the year 2030. And if you Google it, all over the internet, government links, conspiracy links, regular links, it's a big thing that they're in.
Air Force General. I see it.
It's all over the internet for anybody to read.
And Are you ready?
I stumbled across it researching the Marine Corps. Friends said, man, they're doing away with the Marine Corps. I said, oh, BS. I started. And next thing I know, I'm on, you know, it's all over the internet about this thing.
That's crazy. They can't get rid of the Marines. Dude, come on.
Do what?
They can't get rid of the Marines. What are they going to do?
Well, they've got a plan. You know, those little islands, barrier islands way out in the Pacific that kind of are out there in between Japan and Asia.
Yeah,
and
Alaska.
Well, the Marines are going to be like in these drone units. And it's going to be a computer Marine Corps.
The Aleutians or something? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's part of not like the Marines we're used to, but these are going to be computer digital jobs isolated in these outposts in the Pacific for the purpose of this global naval war with China.
Ah, man.
And we're in an arms race with China. And it's all over the freaking internet. It's not Alex Jones and Taylor Martin talking about this.
Right.
Real stuff. So,
I think that this, you know, we live in unprecedented times, really, right? So hearing that is not shocking. I mean, considering the Biden administration, the Biden administration and the stuff that they've been doing, just reducing the military down to nothing, basically. And it doesn't make you feel very safe. I can tell you that. You don't feel very safe. I can say that. Yeah.
I didn't notice this. Brian pointed it out to me. I don't know if you remember the Army and Marine and Navy commercials about 2 years ago. They were very woke.
Yeah.
Very woke, very sissy, very just everything was woke, you know, two little girls wanting to be in the Army and they're going to.
My mom's or something, wasn't it? My mom's.
Yeah. And those are gone now. It's all this Rambo stuff. Because they're preparing.
Yeah. You know? Well, they know that their numbers are down, and they know that, you know, the only people that are going to join are going to be people from like Alabama who, know how to shoot a gun. And yeah, unfortunately, you know, those types of people are starting to say, you know, I don't want to be part of this thing that right. is woke. Right.
You see Teresa there. Teresa, yeah. I don't want to dox her. I don't know what I could say about her or not, but I'll say this. She went to West Point and she's up there in the thinking okay. department of the Army. I don't want to say CIA or Black Ops. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I want to say that she's way up here in Army. When I was talking to her about this the other day, she knew all about it.
She glows in the dark.
She knew all about it. So if the church gets together, maybe in 2025, maybe they start patching some things up. It'll be okay. right
in time. Good timing.
Mm. Yeah.
Good timing for that, for sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I've noticed this over the past, like, you know, 2 years, I guess, a year and a half, 2 years. 2 years, I guess it will be, that a lot of people are kind of abandoning this whole like liberal, you know, mindset of, I don't know what to say, but patriotism first, or let's say not even that, economy first, you know, kind of like laissez-faire conservatism that is like socially conservative, but fiscally not. And vice versa. I've noticed that people are kind of like leaving that. And a lot of young people, myself included, who's relatively young, would say that, you know, we're done with the old way. Right? We're done. And I think Brian and his channel, I think he's getting tons of people's attention. People like him, Saint Wave, you know, people are latching into the apostolic faiths.
Yeah.
And this kind of thing is going to, I guess, get us through this war with China, you know, and all this other stuff. Real. So
we need something real.
For real.
We'll get off here. Well, I got 2 minutes left.
Sure.
I'll send you.
This has been great, by the way. I've enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, look, I can neither confirm nor deny your observations. That's what the G-man said.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, men in black. You know those people.
She's going to have to use the light on us in the
right, right. We're on the chat now at the Pentagon. What, Langley?
I'm not too far from there, so you know, probably. Yeah,
you're probably one of them, right?
No way.
I'm just kidding. Well, look, I'm in real estate too, but it ain't been.
That's crazy.
It's not been that good down here, so I'm teaching right now.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of realtors are. I didn't know you were a realtor before, like, I guess a month ago, which is crazy. But a lot of realtors are dropping out, you know, because
I'm inactive at the moment and trying to figure out what, you know, we're wanting to move kind of up your way.
Oh, yeah. I heard you're moving to Virginia.
We got some things we're working on, but, you know, I want to turn my license back on really quick. But look,
okay.
I love having you on here.
This was great.
And, it's going to be on the, it'll be on Spotify this time tomorrow. And I appreciate you being here.
Love chatting with you.
And thank you for bringing Muscle Man to Palooza.
I'm so glad he came.
It's a big deal for me getting to meet him and Margaret and you. And that was really a big deal for me because it came right at the right time for me. What was going on in my life.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, I needed to be up there. And I hope you're up there in July.
I'm going to be there. You better believe it. Look forward to seeing you there.
I love you. I'll be praying for you.
Love you too, man. Same.
Okay. Bye-bye.
See ya.